Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the struggle by Malaysian officials to keep people from joining jihadists. Police arrested three men last month. The men were reportedly planning to join Islamist militants in Syria.
We stress that this is not your priority. Your priority, if you want to help them, you should join the humanitarian mission, sending foods, aids, release the pain suffered by the refugees.
Then, we will report on efforts by scientists to find better ways to deal with solar storms. A sudden burst of solar energy can cause power outages on Earth.
So a geomagnetic storm watch is somewhat like a hurricane watch when there's a hurricane sitting offshore of Miami and it's a couple of days out.
Efforts to stop Malaysians from joining terrorist groups and efforts to help the Earth deal with sunstorms. Those are our subjects today on As It Is from VOA. Malaysian police recently arrested three men they believe were planning to join Islamist militants in Syria. Police say the three were arrested last month at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. Officials say militant groups have used social media to interest more than 30 Malaysian Muslims in fighting what they call jihad in Syria and Iraq. As we hear from Bob Doty, anti-terrorism experts say they are worried about what could happen when these militants return home.
Since early last year, Malaysian officials have been actively working to stop people from joining groups like the Islamic State. Anti-terrorism expert Ayub Khan says he is worried about more than the harm they can cause in Syria and Iraq.
They are also planning to carry out attack in Malaysia against Malaysia government. Because for them, Malaysia is not Islamic government. It's okay to topple the Malaysia through armed struggle. So that is the main objective. The same objective that has been preached by this Islamic State.
Earlier this year, Malaysian police arrested several people who planned to join up with the Islamic State. Police said the suspects had talked about attacking targets in Malaysia. Jufitri Joha is with the Muslim Youth Movement of Malaysia. He says his group is attempting to persuade young Muslims not to join the jihad.
We stress that this is not your priority. Your priority, if you want to help them, you should join the humanitarian mission, sending foods, aids, release the pain suffered by the refugees, by the internally displaced people. That is your priority.
Jufitri Joha says young Muslims in Malaysia have shown interest in both the name and idea of the Islamic State. But police say the would-be jihadists are also interested in fighting Shia Muslims, seeing them as opponents of accepted religious teachings. Political scientist Chandra Muzaffar says officials in Malaysia, a Sunni Muslim country, share the blame for fueling religious violence.
It is obvious that there is a strong anti-Shia element in religious propaganda in Malaysia. And this is emanating from the religious establishment, from certain elements in political parties, from NGOs, from various other groups.
Malaysian police say they are closely watching social media, which they say is the main way the militants appeal to would-be followers. Police say that if Malaysians with ties to groups like the Islamic State return home, they will be arrested immediately. I'm Bob Doty.
You are listening to As It Is on the Voice of America. Powerful winds from the sun affect the Earth's atmosphere. These solar winds cause the beautiful Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights. These winds are also responsible for many of the power outages that affect modern electrical systems. As we hear now from Anne Ball, scientists are seeking better ways to deal with these solar storms.
The sun's energy creates light and heat. It also produces charged electrical particles and magnetic fields. The sun can keep the earth nice and warm and helps our crops to grow. But a sudden burst of that solar energy can cause a power outage. William Murtaugh is with the National Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado.
As recently as 2003, a big geomagnetic storm during that period we call the Halloween storms produced a blackout in Malmö, Sweden, the city of Malmö in Sweden, and damaged transformers in the Eskom network in South Africa.
The National Space Weather Prediction Center is part of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The Prediction Center provides continually up-to-date forecasts to power companies, government agencies, the satellite industry, and airline companies. It even shares these reports with users of global positioning system equipment. The normal solar forecast is hot, sunny, and worry-free, but sometimes satellites near the sun observe huge orange geysers. These explosions can produce magnetized winds, which continue into space. A solar storm generally takes at least half a day to reach the Earth. So, at first, says William Murtaugh, the Prediction Center describes the solar activity as a watch.
So a geomagnetic storm watch is somewhat like a hurricane watch when there's a hurricane sitting offshore of Miami and it's a couple of days out.
In the final hour of its trip to Earth, the storm passes a special satellite orbiting our planet. The satellite provides new clues about the power and size of the storm. Then scientists hurry to send the latest information.
So we can give all the folks that we gave a heads up to a day or two earlier, we can say, okay, it's worse than we expected, it is as expected, or maybe it's a bit of a dud and it's not going to be the impact we thought it might have here on Earth.
Most storms are uneventful, or a bit of a dud, as he said. For larger storms, electric companies can direct power away from sensitive equipment and intense geomagnetic activity. But short-term outages are still possible. That is why hospitals, airports, and other emergency centers are urged to keep backup power-generating equipment. The experts say world leaders, power companies, and major power users should start planning now so the world can weather a solar superstorm. I'm Anne Ball.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz. I hope you will join us again tomorrow at this same time here on The Voice of America.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is American Mosaic. I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for joining us. On the show today, we remember Oscar de la Renta. He died this week at the age of 82. De La Renta designed for first ladies as well as movie stars. Then we play a little of the Tony Bennett Lady Gaga CD, Cheek to Cheek. And finally, we tell you about the winners of the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize. Stay tuned. Clothing designer Oscar De La Renta died Monday at his home in the American state of Connecticut. He was 82 years old. His wife said he died of problems related to cancer. Mr. De La Renta dressed American movie stars and first ladies. Amal Alamuddin chose De La Renta to design the dress she wore to her wedding to George Clooney last month. Oscar De La Renta was born in Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic, in 1932. His interest in women's clothing is perhaps not surprising. He grew up with six sisters. After he completed high school, De La Renta went to Madrid to study art. His first love was painting, but an interest in fashion design developed. The young man found his first design job in Europe, but he did not stay long. He moved to New York City to work for the Elizabeth Arden Company. In the late 1960s, he opened his own house of fashion design. He became popular quickly in Hollywood and in the nation's capital. The first American first lady he dressed was the former Jacqueline Kennedy. De La Renta was very close to President Ronald Reagan's wife, Nancy. Many of her fashions came from De La Renta. Hillary Clinton was also a big fan. Ms. Clinton spoke in April at an event to honor Oscar De La Renta. She described him as the man working for 20 years to turn me into a fashion icon. Oscar De La Renta's style mixed romantic, feminine elements with a modern edge that included bright color. He once said that his love of rich colors came from his Hispanic roots. He called it his island side. Oscar De La Renta did not just work in the fashion industry. He was also a major supporter of the arts. The designer discovered he had cancer in 2006. Last year, he spoke about that part of his life. He told a gathering at the 92nd Street Y organization in New York City that learning about his cancer made him appreciate every single day of life. Michelle Obama was among several presidents' wives and movie stars who released statements of regret over the death of Oscar De La Renta. Nancy Reagan noted her 50-year friendship with the designer. She called him a kind, gracious individual with a generous spirit who brought beauty and elegance to everything he touched.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8.
I'm starving.
She loves the theater, but she never comes late.
I never bother with people that I hate. That's why this chick is a tramp.
Singers Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga are sitting on top of Billboard's Top 200 Albums list. Their joint album of long-standing jazz hits, Cheek to Cheek, was released September 23rd. Tony Bennett is now the oldest living artist to enter the top 200 at number one. He turned 88 in August. The much younger Lady Gaga is enjoying her second number one album in less than a year.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails.
Cheek to Cheek pushed singer Barbra Streisand's latest album, Partners, out of the top spot. The album is also a collection of duets, or songs produced with two performers. Partners is spending its second week out at number three on the chart. Country singer Kenny Chesney's album, The Big Revival, entered the top 200 this week at number two. Cheek to Cheek includes songs from music greats Irving Berlin, Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn, and others. It opens with the humorous, lively Cole Porter song, Anything Goes. The 1934 song paints a picture of a world gone wild. It jokes about a modern society unrestrained in terms of public behavior and social interaction, especially between the sexes. Lady Gaga sings, "In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. But now, God knows, anything goes."
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now, heaven knows, anything goes.
Good authors, too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today.
And day's night today, and black's white today.
And most guys today, that woman prize today,
are just silly gigolos.
And though I'm not a great romancer,
I know you're bound to answer
when we propose.
Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga are doing some shows together to support the album. Not that it needs much support. Cheek to Cheek is also on top of Billboard's Jazz Albums chart. A child rights campaigner and a child education activist will share the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize. The Norwegian Nobel Committee announced the two winners on Friday. They are Malala Yousafzai of Pakistan and India's Kailash Satyarthi. The Nobel Committee said the prize was awarded for their struggle against the suppression of children and young people, and for the right of all children to an education. It added that the committee considers it important for a Hindu and a Muslim, an Indian and a Pakistani, to join in a common struggle for education and against extremism. Malala Yousafzai becomes the youngest winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. She is only 17 years old. She had been pushing for girls' education in Pakistan for several years when Taliban gunmen shot her in the head in 2012. Doctors in Pakistan and later Britain treated Malala. She has since recovered and continues to fight for women's rights around the world. Kailash Satyarthi has been leading a peaceful movement to end abuse of children for financial gain. The Nobel Committee says he also has assisted in the development of important international agreements on children's rights. The two winners will split the $1.1 million in prize money. Nobel officials will present the award on December 10th in Oslo, Norway. I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for joining us on American Mosaic. If you have a question about American life, people, or places, send us an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We'll try to answer your question in a future show. And tune in again next week at this time for another American Mosaic program from VOA Learning English.